Hello, welcome to the Shut Your Face podcast with your host, me, Bree. I'm super excited you guys are here. Thank you so much for listening to this shit show. This is the second season, and I couldn't be more thankful for all of our guests that took the time to talk to me. It's so freaking cool. Go check us out on Patreon for early access and exclusive content. And then lastly, thank you so much to our sponsors, Bemar Media and Leather and Lights. I kind of happen to know them just a little bit. They're pretty cool. Anyways, let's get on into it, shall we?
We can hear you perfectly.
I didn't realize that Trisha's page was this entertaining. This is hilarious.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get on this phone call with us.
It's a free-for-all on that page. This actually makes me feel way better because I've been attacked on the internet a couple of times, and I'm looking at this quote, and you said I just laugh stuff off because prison don't cook the food I like.
Did you see your Johnny Depp one today?
Hold on. No. Yes. Yeah, I did.
I piss him off about every other week.
You know,
I was kind of overdue. Wait a minute.
This is hilarious because this is actually, you know what? I am so glad this is happening because you are right. They will, all of them, people out of the woodworks will just come for you. And it's like they don't even take 5 seconds to stop and go, okay, am I saying what I'm fixing to comment out loud first, or am I just like.
I don't do that.
I mean, you obviously get it way worse than anybody else. I mean, because you've got a lot going on here, but.
I think too it's like a little bit of like unapologetic, where if I say it, I'm going to stand behind it, and it, you know, and it's my opinion and we don't have to have the same opinion, and I'm not going to be mad, but like, oh my gosh. And then my horse, you know, he has such a fan following, so then he got a lot of attention this year too, and then you hear everybody tells you how you can do it, they could do it better, you know. I'm like, well, I don't do it. It's hard.
I don't understand. I have never been that horse person. Like, I have never been that couch jockey. Like, I don't understand the mentality, because to me it's common sense. Like, okay, well, you're, like, especially at the NFR, you know, where the NFR is like a big deal, and all of a sudden you have all these, like, people that aren't at the NFR telling how they should be doing this, and I'm always kind of like, but you're not there, so.
Oh, yeah. Nonstop. I hear it all the time too, because I've almost come off of Adios a couple times. I mean, that fucker weighs 1,300 pounds, and I mean, he is strong, and I'm like, it's literally just inertia, you know, like he's going so fast and he'll slow himself down so hard, it's literally inertia. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, I promise, if you saw me almost fall off, you'd have been in the dirt right there, like this dude's flying.
I think it's well, let me ground back and start from the beginning. So I just want to kind of introduce you guys. I've got Rosie and I've got Trisha. And this is super weird how this actually happened, because I reached out to Rosie and I was like, yo, do you want to do an episode on my podcast? Because, you know, she does insurance and all this stuff. And, like, she bought a shirt for me. I don't know how I ended up back in your DMs, but I did. And she's like, so I run the pages for Trisha and somebody else. And I was like, oh, okay, hold on, who is that? And then I was like, oh, because I'm not, like, into the barrel racing world a lot, so don't, like, I'm just not in it. And then I was like, oh, I've seen that horse before on TikTok. And she was
that's
like.
That's my marketing working right there.
I love your TikToks. I think they are amazing. And he is gorgeous. I think it's cool as hell that you got a stud out there doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway,
so
she was
awesome
like.
She's like, I'm going to do this. And then she does it. So that's kind of what's the coolest.
Well, so what exactly?
How many people say, oh, I'm gonna win 300,000. Oh, I'm going to win $500,000. And then they actually do it. Like, not
right.
Many.
So. Right. Right. You're right. So how did you guys end up, like, hooking up as far as what Rosie does? Because she takes care of your social media, correct?
No, 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 no. Only her Amino page.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. It's all Trisha. It is all Trisha.
Nobody wants to volunteer for that dog.
No,
the red
no.
Outfit.
No way. I'm out.
Bad, like, I'm going to call out a payout and the linting car. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I'm looking at you. I'm watching one of your videos right now. Okay, got you. Okay. Well, that's cool that you guys work together because it probably is a lot. I mean, if you took – that would be a full-time job to handle that much social media.
Well, that's not even all of it. So we have their Red Hot page. We have the Amino page. We have Truly Epic, Audio, Champion Equine, my own personal stuff, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. It's a lot.
Holy crap. So you got more than one stud horse that you deal with.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I thought you just had the Palomino, because I remember
our,
seeing it.
He got a very large shadow.
Right. Okay. So do you only show, are you showing all of them now?
So one of them, a little girl runs, and she's had him for quite some time now, 6 years or
that long?
It's been a minute.
Streaking Little Wayne.
Streaking
and
Little
I will
Wayne.
Tell you. So I met Trisha, we've been friends for years since she was in college, and she used to run an arena and hold barrel races in like 2015. Yeah, we had a barrel race. We put on a barrel race together in 2015, so over a decade ago, 10 years, and she was a college girl, and she's riding a two-year-old stud around in a halter. Bareback, and I'm like, what are you doing on a stud bareback? That's dangerous. That's not good horsemanship, Trisha. That might be bad. And she's like, oh, he's fine. He's the best. He's gonna do great things. And he went and he did great things.
Yeah,
and he was great.
Won about 70,000 with the kid, and she still rides in Bailey Fowler, so she's got her own little YouTube and all that. But and then we have Audio, and then I have a young stallion coming out, Truly Epic, who's this is his maturity year. So I didn't start him on the barrels or anything, so I kind of got him a little bit late. So I'm kind of just – him and I are, like, just becoming a team now. So I'm really excited for, like, the summer and fall stuff on him.
He's going to be really good.
He's pretty cool.
How do you exactly determine, because, okay, if I say something stupid, don't laugh at me, because I'm honestly don't know a lot about barrels. I grew up like pleasure. We just went slow for no reason. So when it comes to barrel racing, what is it about the horse that kind of speaks to you that says, okay, this horse is going to be able to do something. This horse is going to be able to really do something in this discipline.
I think, you know, it's looking for the confirmation and make sure that they're built to do the job. That's going to help them have that speed that they're going to need. But then also I feel like the mental side of it is just as important for the horse as it is for the competitor.
You said mental?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I feel like they need to be pretty clear-minded. You know, it's fine if they're hotter or, you know, they're bred to be hot or energetic, that's all fine, but they need to be able to think through pressure situations.
I'm glad you said that. So what do you think is a big, like, determining factor that's going to separate a horse from being, like, what you just said, like hot or, like, really just overly excited or overly emotional versus one that can't mentally handle it?
I think just heart wanting to do the job, and you know, we have some of them that are like pretty excited or pretty strong to do their job, but they still want to do their job, you know, like
right.
I mean, I run Audios in an O-ring, and like he's 1,300 pounds. There ain't no way I'm telling him to do anything. You know, if he didn't want to do it, he wouldn't do it. You can't make him do it.
It's just a great horse is a great horse. And they are few. There's a lot of really, really good horses, but those great horses are few and far between. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and also, you probably have to give them a little bit of a chance, too. It's not like you can just walk around a sale barn and be like, okay, well, I think that was going to take it. You're obviously going to go throw a leg on them and see what you're working with, I would think.
It's all breeding. I picked Audios out as a weanling.
Oh, wow.
So.
How cool is that?
just following and tracking pedigrees and what I thought would work and things that I had seen from similar breedings and just trying to pay attention. And then he had the right, you know, look, I thought, to give him a chance. And then, you know, as he got older, he just kept getting better and better. And the colt starter, like, I asked him if he wanted to geld him, Rodney Yost, and he was like, I don't think we're going to geld this one. So I was like, well, that's a good sign, because colt starters usually always want to geld him.
Well, yeah. So how old is he?
He just turned 5.
Oh, wow. So he's still young. He's really young.
Yep. He's the winningest barrel futurity horse ever.
And so, obviously, he's standing to the public now, right?
Yes. There's about 2,000 people on the waiting list to breed to him right now.
That's what I was just getting at. So you've got a list for him. I could imagine you've got a list.
It's a little Western over here. Fallon says that he's booked until baby Jesus comes home.
Oh, wow. Well, that's it. So the books haven't opened up, or no, yes or no?
Oh, we're still pulling off the list. We pulled off the list this year to December 25th of 2023. That's how far we got.
Holy cow!
Yeah, which is crazy to me because, like, I mean, he'd won about like 85,000 by that time, but I mean, really, most of his stuff come, you know, like. He hit the $300,000 goal by summer, and then, you know, he ended his maturity year, I think it was $567,000.
And so, well, obviously you travel him a lot, and you have him, you guys go to a bunch of barrel racers and all, I mean, bunch of barrel races and stuff like that. What's probably one of the hardest things that you have to deal with as far as traveling that much with a stud horse?
He's easy. Yeah, I'm definitely spoiled. I like, he's a good boy. He, you know, I get a lot of controversy with him because he's very eclectic. He likes to, like, he's like a dog to me. Like, he bounces around, but so I get a lot of people tell me that I don't handle him very good. But he's so easy to haul. He loves his shavings. Like, he has the open stall front on his stall at all the shows. Like, he's literally the easiest stallion ever to haul.
So at the World Show this year, we hit him out with us in the rope horses, and my husband was so impressed by him. She was like, wow, how's he bred, Rosie? Should we breed one of our rope horses to him? And I'm like, get on the list. he was so impressed with him.
They are doing, that's why I just said that, because they are kind of doing that now, like a roping. The prospect for roping, team roping, all that kind of good deal, they are venturing into a lot of barrel horse pedigrees.
Well, yeah, they can, well, like even audio, they can run, but they have a good mind, and they can race. It's just, and they're strong.
So did she just say that she has people tell her, you have people tell you how to handle your own horse?
Oh, yeah, if you see some of his little videos leaping around.
It's good because it makes us laugh.
Oh,
it's comments
entertaining.
Are very.
The audacity.
I always tell him, imagine how much he would win if he would have had a good rider. Like, gosh, he would be a millionaire.
What, you know what, that's funny. What is the most, like, craziest thing that somebody has said to you on social media?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how to pick.
Pick, like, top 5 out of a hat.
Some people tell me that they don't like him because he has a fake tail, but he doesn't have a fake tail.
What? What the world?
So that one's been fun. And then a lot of people in the beginning of the year, so before we run him at the slot race at BFA, there's a video of him, like, he the music changes, and then he, like, gets excited. He's like a tea kettle, so he just gets really excited, and he, like, jumps in the air, and he, like, he rears up, and it's not at me. And then I kind of, like, I don't even act like anything is happening. I don't even know if somebody's videoing this. And, like, and then I look at him, like, come on, let's go. And then he calms down and he just, like, walks off. And, like, so many comments were, like, you need to geld him. Like, he's never going to make a stallion. Like, I mean, just, I mean, it was hilarious. I got hammered. And they were like, this is ridiculous. And this, it's going to be so bad. And what if somebody buys him someday from you? And I was like, oh, man. And so I reposted it this year. It was a full year later. And, you know, now he's won all the money. He's won freaking everything. And they were like, I was like, yeah, sure glad we didn't geld him. So
that's crazy to me that people just, like, sit there and say that. Like, it just, like, stuff like that would come out of their mouth.
I want to do a deal with Fallon where we, like, read mean tweets of people, stuff people say about us. Just for fun.
It would, you know what, that would be actually fun to read that, because it's like, you know, do these people have nothing better else to do?
No, definitely not. So, yeah, it's wild.
So what are your, obviously you're rodeoing him, you guys are traveling constantly. How many rodeos a year do you go to keep him where you've got him now?
So we're in the process of transitioning. So we did Futurities last year. This year I am going to do some rodeos, but I have no idea what that looks like because I don't know what I'm doing. I have very good friends that are helping me out, telling me where to go, what to do, and how to enter, and all the things. But
and they tell her the exact opposite, where to go, how to do. I was like, oh, I can help you. I've gotten a few of my friends there, and but my husband, so I know the arenas and everything. And just don't go to Rapid City because it's 12 seconds inside and the crowd is right there. And then our other friends are like, no, you need to go because it's a good rodeo.
Oh, gosh. But, no, it's a lot of changes coming, like, for him, you know. So, anyway, him and I are just going to kind of, like, learn together. But he's a really good team player, and he's adapting well. So I'm excited to kind of get on this journey with him.
I'm already, like, I'm just kind of looking at your pictures now, and the only thing I sense is, like, this huge partnership. It's like y'all are best friends, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see that, because it's just, like, you can tell that this is not about raising a stallion to make money and produce. I mean, obviously, that would be great, but I'm sitting here looking at your pictures, and I'm like, this horse and this chick are, like, best friends. If I had never spoken to you, this is exactly what I would think.
Oh, yeah, I laugh because, you know, sometimes I get some crap and they'll tell me, like, oh, it's just about the money. And I was like, if it's about the money, I'd be on a beach in Tahiti turning a Mai Tai. I was like, I want to be sitting in the freaking crap weather in Denver with my horse. Like,
right.
I was like, I love that sucker. He's a good boy.
You've got to. I don't think non-horse people understand how much you have to love horses to do what you guys do.
Yeah, and I mean, I spend, like, literally, I joke that my job now is just keeping him alive because, you know, now he's worth a ton of money. But I spend every day with that horse. Like, it's me to do everything. Like, I take him to the breeding farm, I turn him out in his pen. Like, yeah, absolutely anything that horse does is with me.
I love that. I just want to hug y'all. So, all right, let me get back to the juicy details. So what's the most money you've won so far on him at a single, like, show or rodeo or futurity? Well, what's the difference between a rodeo and a futurity?
So the futurities are for aged horses, so they can either run as a 4-year-old or run as a 5-year-old. And so Adios ran as a 4-year-old. And then the rodeos are open. Like, you can do it at any time. Once you run them, you can run anywhere. And it's a different circuit. I always joke because in the comments lately, they've been like, oh, you're moving on to bigger and better things. And I was like, oh,
no, it's harder.
Way harder.
Way harder.
It's a lot less money, and it's way different circumstances. It's really hard to find a horse that can excel in the different atmospheres.
Ground, like in futurities, the ground is prepared.
Way better, yeah.
And in rodeos, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
It could be grass that morning.
That's funny you said that, because we did an episode with a girl who kind of explained how horses that rodeo are way more, like they're tough. Like those are some tough horses because they're able to handle everything that you guys just said. Like one weekend they'll be in a grass arena, and then the next weekend they'll be in something that, you know, the ground is like some baseball field or whatever. And like, you know, you got to condition your horse to be able to handle that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So what's the most money you've won so far at a single futurity? Because you've only done futurities so far.
I want to say somewhere in 70,000 range.
Holy cow.
What's she trying to do?
Rover.
Yeah, we're on the wild on a tour.
But yeah, so I want to say somewhere around there.
Jesus, why did I ever do pleasure?
Yeah, and it's funny, like, for Audios, he actually, like, he doesn't have that many runs on him for, like, the futurity stuff, just because I only took him to futurities. Like, he only went to one jackpot, he went to a couple rodeos, but he really didn't, like, a lot of times, you know, some of our other horses, we run them at futurities, and then we run them at jackpots and super shows and different stuff, and, like, Audios really never, Audios never really did any of that stuff. He just went to the big stuff.
Got you. Now I'm really curious about, like, the social media stuff and the people that talk to you on social media. Do you ever get met with the same energy? Like, if you have somebody that's, like, talking smack to you on the internet and you see them at a rodeo, do you get the same energy, or they're probably nice, aren't they?
Yeah. It's always different, you know, whenever it's on the computer.
It is always different when it's on the computer. It's like they've got balls of steel when it comes to a keyboard, and then you take the keyboard away, and it's...
So part of my deal on my Red Hot page is kind of about that, because bullying, like, really frustrates me. And I have this theory that bullies are so bad now because nobody ever responds to them. Like, they tell you, they teach you when you're a little kid, like, ignore the bullies. And now the bullies have balls. And so I have, like, a personal mission. And I'm like, no, I'm going to show a different way to deal with this, because, you know, when I see, like, teenagers and stuff, or just young women and boys too, but, like, it's just such a, like, people come after them so bad, and it, you know, they don't see how that makes them feel. And I feel like that there's just a different way to deal with that kind of stuff, where, like, you know, laugh it off. Like, you can respond. Like, what if they want to come onto my own personal page and talk shit, I'm going to respond. And, like, just have fun with it and laugh it off, and life goes on. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't take it personal. Like, move on. And so many people have reached out about that, you know, because they're like, that they have a hard time dealing with people saying all those negative things about them, and it's like they don't know how to handle that, you know. And so I think it's just been, like, kind of helpful for people to see that, like, it doesn't matter if you're winning or losing or what, like, somebody always has something bad to say. So, like, it doesn't matter, you can win everything and somebody's still going to tell you you're doing it wrong. So, like, mm-hmm. just go have fun, live your own life. You know, try not to take it personal and go from there.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting here like, to me, because I've been attacked on the internet a couple of times, and I did it both ways. First time, I said absolutely nothing, because you're right. That's kind of what you're taught. You're like, don't let them control you. Don't let them get you angry. Don't say anything. Don't respond. And that's what I did the first time. The second time, I responded, and I took up for myself. And you still almost feel like you're drowning, because people can comment. They could go for days and days and days of trying to argue with somebody on the internet. But it's refreshing to see.
And then I go clean my stall. My
husband tells me all the time, do not argue with someone on Facebook.
No, don't. Mm-mm. No, because you'll get nowhere.
Facebook pays me pretty good. They can argue in the comments all they want.
but you know, it makes me feel better that you deal with this too, and look at you, like, you're this person with this big hot stud horse that does all these great things, and I'm just this little somebody. So it's comforting to know that somebody like you can sit up and go, okay, you know what, it happens to everybody, it's okay. It's like everything you just said to me, that's very, you're doing what you're standing up for. Like, I'm telling you that right now. So, and even in the barrel racing world, because I feel like barrel racers are a little more, I don't want to say critical, but they are a little more. I talked about it in another episode because it's funny. It's like a catch-22.
They're quick on the keyboard.
Do what?
They're quick on the keyboard.
They are, but it's a catch-22 because it's a good thing that you've got people who will voice their opinion and stand up for stuff because you have other disciplines in the industry that are hush-hush. They're very hush-hush. They don't.
It's a lot of that, too. You know what? I'm going to stop you guys right here because we're saying this. Yes, there are a lot of those people, but we have a lot of great people, and we have
a lot
of great friends. Like last year, there was a girl in the industry, and I knew her parents. They were friends with my husband's family, and she came down it was stage 4 stomach cancer. We really didn't think she was going to live, and came together. Trisha was there. Trisha donated. She came to the barrel race, everything, and I put on an online auction and a barrel race for her, and I told my husband, I'm like, 18 days. I told my bosses all the jobs. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be kind of busy for the next 2 weeks. And in 18 days, all the barrel racers came together, and we raised her like $210,000. So when we come together, we're strong and we're gonna win.
But, oh, for sure.
But yeah,
oh, yeah.
It's just, I laugh at like people that really don't know are the ones that are saying all this stuff. Can I say that? Sorry, I probably just said too much.
No. Talk away. I love to hear that because you're right. It's like that's what I'm trying to say. Horse people are like it's the best of both. You have both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
for sure.
The best,
yeah.
Total best of both. Like I told you today, it was the deal with, I don't know, something on Facebook. Someone said something, and I said, you know what? When it comes down to it, it doesn't matter because you have 5 real true friends that love you and are going to support you no matter what. So it doesn't matter what anyone says.
Which is good because I don't know if I can handle more than that.
I can't. Definitely.
Yeah. A couple of my friends are like really crazy too. So I always joke that. God, like, I'm very level-headed, and, like, not a lot bothers me. I'll get upset for a minute, and then I see a squirrel, and I'm on to the next thing. But, like, I always joke that God gives me, like, friends with high anxiety. Like, I don't know if it's just because I'll mellow them out or what, but everyone's always in a crisis.
Oh, yeah. I'll call her, and I'll be like, what do I do? And she'll be like, just play it out. See how it works.
It'll be
good. It'll be fine.
They make fun of me because I'm like, it'll be fine. And now my friends, like, look at me and they're like, it'll be fine. And I'm like,
oh, I know. It's great.
She's going, it'll be fine, and there'll be fire burning behind her.
All the time. We'll just burn it all down. Yeah.
We'll end.
That's funny because I did another episode earlier today, and her motto was, just go with the flow. It's just go with the flow.
Yep. I think, too, as I get older, like, a lot of things, you know, like, you realize things that you can't change or situations that, you know, you can improve on as a person, but you need to, like, okay, there's no point in being stressed or being upset or, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, it's going to go how it's going to go. Make the best of it.
You know what, though? You've kind of always, I've seen Trisha grow up pretty much, and she's always been that way, and she's always been laid back and easy to get along with, and just making life work in the horse industry, pretty much.
However it works.
So, you know, she has a degree in engineering, so she is very intelligent.
How cool is that?
Also, yeah. Makes me frustrated with people on the internet.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't do math so good.
Yeah, just math.
Well, I mean, obviously you're doing something right because people are attacking you.
That's
how you know.
I just try to have fun, though. Like, I mean, like, at the end of the day, even with anything that people see, you know, I always feel like people kind of see a lot of, like, comments. But I told somebody this the other day because I was like, okay, that page gets, on average, between, like, 1.5 million and 3.5 million hits a month. And I was like, and even if you see 1,000 negative comments on there, that's less than 0.01% of the content that's on that page. So, like,
yeah.
It's such a small part of it. You know, like, I think that's a notable part of my, what, you know, of that brand but that it's just such a small part of it. And it's like so cool that I've gotten to see, you know, the other day I did a live video and I was talking to a girl in Australia. And I mean, it's just so cool that you can, you know, talk to people all over the country, spread knowledge all over the country. Like, social media has been such an amazing tool for me to, like, speak with everyone about, like, you know, social norms or, you know, just things with the horses that we do here that people don't see. You know, like, there's not that money and that driving force that we have in North Texas. And so it's just been really super awesome to, like, really get to interact with the fans, getting to see them on the road, you know, and just share stories that help people. You know, I would take a million bad comments just for the private messages that I get of people telling me their stories, you know.
Aww.
And how I was able to impact their life in some way.
And it's, I talk to a lot of barrel racers with all of the products, the supplements that we have. And we came out with Trisha's Aminos probably 4 years ago. And the amount of, I mean, friends that I've been friends with for 20, 25 years will come up to me and say, just tell her thank you and tell her how she so inspires us and her advice is great. And so it's kind of like she has a following from all ages and all crowds. But that's another thing is it's the positivity and the good that comes out of this.
Yeah, you've got to focus on that. I mean, because like what she just said, if you just worried about all the negative, you wouldn't get anywhere in life. Come on now.
Well, I still have a pretty good time with it all.
She's laughing.
Yeah. I make silly memes.
So, totally random. So what, tell me about this Barrel Horse News cover that I'm looking at, which is looks like a pretty badass shot we got here. Where are you guys at for that? And how did this come about?
We were in Arizona at the Rural Crown, and he ended up winning the first round, and then he was second in the second round, and he won the average, and that was his second Futurity to win, and it was his first time on a standard pattern, so it was pretty exciting to get him out there, and Rural Crown puts on a great show, and they do three shows, and I'm pretty sure when you asked about what's the most money that I'd won at one show, I'm pretty sure it was a Rural Crown show in Wyoming, and I think I was fourth and still ended up winning like 70-something thousand. So, they pay awesome over there.
Are you going to Rural Crown?
Not this first one.
Not this one.
I'll go to the other two. Mm-hmm.
The payouts are let me ask you this. Do you think they keep getting higher and higher and higher, or do you think they kind of topped off with in 2023, 2024? Do you think some of these payouts are going to start to come down some, or do you think they're going to keep going up?
A lot of them are guaranteed because the stallions are who puts up the money. So they could go up or down a small percentage just based on entries, but I mean, man, there's just so much opportunity. And, you know, I always joke, like, you know, I was raised that they tell you that you can't make any money in horses, you know. And,
I think that
there was a lot of truth to that. But as, like, the industry grows, I'm like, at this point, I mean, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry. There's no reason that you can't find a way to make a good living in horses.
Now, did you grow up around horses? Or did you?
So, sort of, but not really. My dad was in the military, so we moved around a lot. But, like, when I was a kid, I was born in Fort Hood, Texas. And so, like, he would work on the first calf horses. So, like, he loved horses, and he was always around them and stuff. But we didn't really own any horses until I was a little bit older. And then we just did, like, you know, trail riding and mostly like that kind of stuff. I didn't really like start getting real serious about barrel racing until I was in high school.
Oh, really? And what was one of the biggest things that you had to overcome when it came to, like when you set up and said, okay, well, I'm going to take barrel racing seriously, what was the biggest thing that kind of you had to overcome to start to grow in barrel racing?
Money. Got to pay for it. I think, literally starting from the bottom. You know, like I hear a lot of people tell me that all the time, like, well, I can't ever own a horse like you own, or, you know, I can't get there. And it's like, it's everything either costs time or money. So,
right.
You know, spending a lot of time learning skills so that I could make those horses, because I couldn't afford to buy them, you know, and just really, I always joke that, like, I had to pay a lot in stupid tax. So, like, make all the mistakes, but not make them again. You know, where I could really hone my energy so that I, you know, and every time the horses got a little better, a little better, a little better, I just kept reinvesting in myself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes sense. Now, I wanted to ask Rosie really quick. Just I remember you saying your background with horses. Your whole family, like, grew up around horses and stuff, right?
No. I married into it.
Oh.
So
their whole family, right?
Their whole family, yes. Yeah, like, my husband's grandpa founded the Quarter Horse Congress in Ohio, was one of the founders. He and my father-in-law are both in the NRHA and the AQHA Hall of Fame. Like, they had the first horse in Ohio. They're amazing about that. And I was a little girl that my parents were in the – this is actually a really great story. My parents were in the rock and roll industry. They wrote songs for, like, Steve Miller Band and everything. Mom wanted to raise me away from it, so she moved me to Kauai when I was 18 months old. And when I was 8 years old, she had a garage sale, and she had purple ostrich boots. And this lady came up. And even back then, this is our, I don't know if this is how we are, and still am today. I said, well, Mom, she really wants it. She can't afford it. So can you just trade the ostrich boots for riding lessons for me? And she did. And the girl lady's daughter ran barrels, and we got good barrel. Well, I don't know. I ruined a lot of horses when I was younger because I had no idea what I was doing. As I think a lot of us
same.
Do.
Same.
And yeah. When I was in high school, we went to Connie Combs, and we spent so much money. We spent $3,500 on a barrel horse, and he was young, and I was young, and I'm sure I ruined that one too. But I went to my master's and bachelor's from Oklahoma State at a rodeo. Here comes C.R. Bradley, my husband, and we've been together ever since, 27 years. And he taught me pretty much everything about horsemanship. And I'm 46 years old and still getting yelled at. So basically, I say I didn't know anything until I met my husband, and he's pretty much taught me everything. And I've taught him a little bit, too. So.
Well, that 27 years is an accomplishment. That's in itself. So that's pretty cool.
So, but, yeah. So, anyways, his family is the horsemen. We're the horsemen's, and I just had a family that tried to support me and do what they could, so I always had a horse, because our joke is, like, if you have horses, it keeps you out of doing a lot of other stuff, so it keeps you busy.
What was that meme that was going around where it was like, you know, it could be worse, I could be doing drugs, so.
Drugs are cheaper.
Right?
Surely they are.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you ruined any horses, Rosie. I think
we all did.
That's how you learn.
But it's how you learn. It's how you get better.
Yeah.
Like, we can get on a horse in 5 seconds, and know whether or not, like, we're gonna like the horse or not. It's helped us become who we are, and it's helped us just get better. So,
yeah.
And we had to work at it. And we talked about this probably years ago. I had it. She had an old horse named Bandit. And mm-hmm. It was basically like, you do what you can. You get this horse to the best potential you can. And when they're ready, then you sell it and you find someone that's going to fit that horse for their potential, and you move up. And it's just like, you keep moving up and moving up through the horses. And I don't know that you're ever going to get anything better than audio.
I know.
Sorry.
I don't know
what you're
saying.
Yeah, it might be the end
of the road.
Yeah.
I think that's a winner's mentality too. I mean, because you have, well, you've got these types of people in all, anything that you do in life. You've got some people that, like, with me growing up, it was either you went back to the trailer and cried, or you went back and figured out what you did wrong and figured it out, because we didn't have participation ribbons back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, you either, mm-hmm. if you wanted to do good, you figured it out, you know?
And it's, I think
some people, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's more because I noticed it more now than I did before, but sometimes you look at people and it's like, okay, well, they're not getting where they want to get with whatever horse they got. It's the horse's problem. Or the horse is this. The horse has this. Just something else with the horse, instead of thinking, okay, well, maybe you are the problem.
It's 99% of the time, I'm sure it's the rider. Me too. I always joke, my horse, he's really a good boy. He doesn't really mess up, but if something goes wrong, it's generally my fault. Something I did. And I can usually go back in the video and be like, yep.
Yeah.
I go back and watch in slow motion. I'm like, oh, that was kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we've all got to be, I remember having to, you know, you got to look back and look at yourself and go, okay, I screwed that up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just part of it, though. You know, it's how, especially, like, for the barrel racing, it happens so fast. Like, you're having to think of something in a split second. Like, I mean, literally a split second. And so I think that also it's important to, like, always strive to be better, but also, like, have some grace as far as, like, not being so hard on yourself that you take the fun out of it for your horse.
Yeah.
I bought a horse this year, and Trisha had actually had him as a three-year-old and sold him as a three-year-old to a girl that had him 6 years, and he's a trace ace. And Trish is like, you need to try this horse. And I go to jackpot, and I win the race by 3/10, and I run a fast time in there, and it was great. I'm like, oh, I have to have this horse. And then the next week was Pink Buckle, and I paid double the entry fee and went, and I was so nervous. And Trish is like, Rosie, you have had your horse a week. It's fine. Like, don't. And I was kind of like in between. I wasn't bad, but I didn't win any money. And, but I mean, it was respectable, but she's like, just give yourself some grace. It's okay.
Yeah. It takes a while. To deal with them.
Do you ever feel that like pressure to have to win something from what you've got invested in it?
I mean, for sure, when I was younger, I definitely felt like that because of, like, needed it to eat, you know? But, like, now, I actually think it's really interesting because, like, the more that I've won, the less I feel the need to win, if that makes sense. So, like, I'm still very competitive. Like, I want to win and do good and all that. But, like, also, like, I'm, like, my horse, for instance, like, I'm just having fun. Like, my horse has nothing to prove to me, like, he's my buddy, and, you know, it's amazing that, like, even to say, like, that he's won as much as he had, it doesn't even feel real. Like, it still doesn't feel real, and I'll forever be grateful for, like, the things that he's done for my life, but, like, to just go and have fun. Like, if he didn't win one more dime, like, I just still love my horse, you know?
And, to me, it's like, I have jobs. If I cannot, I don't put the pressure on myself.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. Now, when my husband rodeoed, when he made the NFR, it was like, I think we were, his mom would say, you come home and bale hay. And it was like, no, he would win. And when we went to the NFR, I know we were $30,000, and this was 20 years ago, we were $30,000 in credit card debt. And thankfully, he won enough to pay it off, and we had some extra money, and we moved to Texas, bought our place, but it was like, I didn't ever want to be in that situation. So it's like, okay, I can work, and the work can, then I can have nice horses. But I have friends that literally have to run barrels to eat. Yeah. And
I definitely have been there, you know, which is why we started like the Amino company, and then, you know, mm-hmm. we did merch and different things. Just because it's nice to like diversify where you're not dependent on what your horse wins to eat.
We've done this long enough that you just can't. I mean, I want my horse to eat as good as I eat, too.
Oh, yeah.
So is Trisha. I mean, hay's expensive. I want to feed the best feed, the best supplements. And
I'm pretty sure I'm going to put my vet kid through college.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, vet bill.
So where's the aminos at? Because I'm on your Red Hot Feral Horses page, and I keep clicking on Red Hot Equine Aminos, but it says it's not a private connection, and it won't let me go anywhere.
Oh, no, is
so
it?
It's probably like our new server. Well, server deal. But if you open it on a regular web page and just type in Red Hot Equine Aminos, it should come up. Fine.
It'll come up. And then the Facebook page will come up. So
Facebook is not being my friend this week.
So we started with the equine aminos because I'd been with oxygen for 20 years, so many years, and I've been friends with Trisha, had tried some oxygen products too. And Oxygen has its lab, and FDA-approved lab, and Oxygen's just one of the companies that they make for. And we know what's in it. I have a great relationship with them, and she was so big on health and loved her aminos for herself and the horses. And she's
I
like,
still drink aminos every day.
Yeah, she's like, we need to do something. So we came up with formulations with nutritionists. We sampled, and this was 2020. So this was about 4 or 5 years ago, and we came up with it then, and it's pure. It's everything they need. It's the BCAAs. It's got some electrolytes in it. It is, the horses absolutely love it. I have yet to have someone come to me and say, my horse will not eat this, and that is huge. But she just wanted to do something. And when she started, it was, well, I just want to be able to pay for it for my own horses.
Yeah, and I was like, I just want to know what's actually in it. Because, so I was having problems with the mare that I was calling, and it was like really little things, and I was like, okay, well, I need to make sure it has this in it or that in it. And it's like, I would ask, and nobody even knew what I was talking about. And then when you start, like, looking even at some of the electrolytes, like, they're not even actually electrolytes, but they're advertised as such. And so I was just getting super frustrated, and I was like, I don't know what half of these ingredients are. And so I just really wanted, like, a cleaner version, you know, something that, like, I knew what was in it. And I don't know why that's so hard, but there's no regulatory stuff for horses. So, you know, really anybody can sell or do pretty much anything with it.
Yeah.
So it's really important to go with
it. You can't have claims. So you just can't make drug claims on it. So, like,
I mean,
you can't call it ulcers. Like ulcer stop, you can't do that.
Gotcha.
You call it stomach care.
But you know what's in it. That, you know what, that I'm glad, because I'm funny about what I put in my own potty, so I'm even more funnier when I had horses, what they eat. So
I read everything. It's a curse.
And that's what's better. So a lot of these other companies have labs that they don't even know. They're not horse people. Our labs are
right?
Not only do we have equine, but we have cows, we have a livestock division, everything, but we grow our own grains. It is made, manufactured, grown ingredients and shipped out of the same place. It's fresh. Like, we know this is years and years and years of experience on these horses, on equine products. So it's we know what's in it.
Yeah.
So
it's
good. We're not guessing. We don't have someone else saying it. We work on formulas together.
Yeah.
Everything. And luckily, we have two nutritionists, too. So
I think that's freaking awesome as hell, because, like, it's basically saying, okay, well, you know what? Y'all aren't doing a good job, so we're going to go ahead and do this for you, and we're going to do it
that's
right.
That's basically how I started every business. Pretty well. That's how it goes.
Well, I mean, I did an episode with a lady, and we were talking about, like, meat and beef and just all the kind of things that, and you would be surprised, we'll just talk about non-horse people for a second, how the disconnect between just humans and what they consume and where it comes from is. Like, there's a huge disconnect.
Oh,
so horse
God.
People, we are a little ahead of the game, because we are kind of on it when it comes to what we feed our horses and stuff. So
last year I created some embryos for some Wagyu cows. And I was like, I want to know, because I don't know anything about cows. Like, everybody thinks you know about cows because you have horses, but I don't know anything about cows. So I was like, but I want to know. Like, I want to know what it's like to feed it out and, like, go through it. So we did, like, the whole thing, and we slaughtered him in December. And anyway, it's very good meat. I'm very thankful for his sacrifice for my family. But even for my son to, like, it's, like, it's so much work to feed out a cow. And, like, it's just really good to know that. And then the meat is, like, so much better and fresher and, like, it's just way better than anything you could ever buy. Not just because it's Wagyu, but, like, it's just cleaner, you know? And so it's a really cool experience to be able to, like, do that and have that perspective, because you're right. There's, like, a huge disconnect of the work it takes for even just to feed one cow to, you know, feed your family.
Yeah. Yeah, or just to know what you're eating. There's a huge disc, and you can't trust these big companies you're supposed to trust, which sucks. But I mean, y'all saw that. You like the stuff you were. That's why you created this company. So
yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So she's had it for so many years, and I've kind of helped on and off or whatever. But I've got a lot of other companies, and I wrap a magnetic blanket too, and Trisha, again, from the day one we came out with this product, I thought it was a great product. Trisha's like, oh, Rosie, okay, here, let me try it then. If you have it, it must be good, which is awesome. I've got a good friend. But they came to do a shoot with Adios in her last year for the magnetic company, and it's Accelerate, and so he's like the whole cover model.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing with your aminos? And since I ship for so many companies, I was like, okay, I guess I could take it over and start shipping for you. And my husband was like, Rosie, you don't have time for anything, because I'm an insurance agent, everything too, like that. I work 15-hour days, yeah.
Yeah, and anybody that orders, though, they need to thank Rosie, because before Rosie started shipping, I would be on the road, and so I would be like, can I just give you a refund? Because, like, I'm like, where am I going to find the box? What am I, you know, like, I really was just ordering it for me. And so, like, I didn't push it at all, which is really cool that the Aminos has done so well, because, like, there's $0 for advertising. Like, we don't spend one dime on advertising. Like,
the horses need it.
It's such a great product. So, like, the word of mouth has been really good for us. But, like, it's just, I have so much going on, it's just really hard for me to commit to that. And so Rosie's been like the lifesaver, because she gets it out fast, ships, and handles all the people side of it. And everybody loves Rosie because she's very friendly and very quick. And it's been awesome.
I try. It's like, I want it out that day. If there's an order that comes in, I want. And what happens all the time is, we sell out, and I'm like, well, how did I not prepare for this and order it and get it in? And Trisha's like, and Trisha's so wonderful to work for, because I'm like, okay, actually, she's like, Rosie, just order it. It's fine. Just have extra. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. It always sells. So.
But, yeah, it's been fun. So I just did her year end, and I was like, Trisha, this is with me. This was without me. It was kind of funny not to say that.
I'm super, super glad to have help with it. This year, I've been a lot better about delegating. So
I was just laughing. She's like, well, I had to refund the customer. I didn't have it. I couldn't ship it. I couldn't find a box. So we go over and we try to find boxes.
And then even just storing inventory, because, I mean, it's a lot. It's
the epitome of go with the flow. Just go with the flow.
And then my husband will be like, I'm trying to pack or ship, and be like, why did you run out of that? Come on.
We did a deal. I guess it's been a little while now, but before we started, like, all the clothing stuff. So the first time I opened orders for the sweatshirts, I got like 200 and something orders, which is insane for a young stud. This is before I even won anything. And it looked like a clothing factory exploded in my living room. And I was like, I don't know about doing this. And then the postmaster wanted to probably murder me. Like, they were so upset when I was showing up for, like, days with so many packages. And I was like, we got to get better at this. So we have a company now that helps us that drop ships.
I was just going to say, that's what we do for a living. That's what I do for a living.
And then she decides she's going to come out with Adios's bit.
Oh, yeah, the bits. We sold out the bits. L&W helped me with the bits, and we sold them out twice now. And
I do
still have to do a lot. I wrote everybody a thank you card and gave them some cool stuff from audio. So, like, I do still have to do a lot of that stuff myself, but we're getting better.
Well, it takes, you don't realize how much time that stuff takes.
Backwards. Yeah. It's always some kind of shipping fiasco or store. There's always some fire. There's always a fire.
We've only had one
dispute, and it was weather. It wasn't even our fault.
Yeah.
It was UPS, USPS. And I was like, could you not call us first, please?
Yeah.
Can I say that on here?
Oh, yeah.
So. Well, I'm much more
political. You can say anything you want.
I'm like the opposite. I'm just like, if we sell them or don't sell them, it doesn't matter because we're just feeding them to our own horses.
But I want everybody happy.
Well, that's almost impossible to do.
We work real well together.
Yeah, it takes both of us.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. We actually put on in 2015 together a barrel race, and we wanted to bring we wanted it to pay out. And so we did one of the first high-stakes races there were, and we had a 2D. What was our entry fee? Like $150?
I think so.
And it actually, and we paid out
a lot of money for an entry fee at that time.
Oh, yeah. They used to have barrel races with $60 entry fees, and people wouldn't want to pay $60 for entry fee. And now you can't go to a local barrel race without paying $60.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, the price of eggs have gone up, too, so.
True.
Yeah. What's crazy, though, you know, the cool thing about barrel racing is that it's one of the sports, like, one of the very few equine sports that absolutely anyone can do. Like, there is somewhere for everyone, whether it's, like, you know, play days or, you know, Gymkhana, or if you wanted to do
patrulling. No, I would screw up the pattern,
rodeo,
for sure.
Like, literally, though, like, if you can get any horse, it doesn't even have to be a barrel horse, and you can go somewhere and just take it through the pattern. Like, it's one of the few sports that's like that, and so it's a very fast growing sport, which I think is why we've seen so much of an influx into our industry.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the same thing with ranch. I was going to ask you what you think about ranch riding, which you probably don't think about it because it has nothing to do with, you know, to be barrel racing.
Rosie probably know more than me.
So, yeah, actually, I'm laughing. So, my husband has actually won. He'll ranch ride too on his broke rope horses. So he took one of his rope horses, and this is the only level two he's actually proud at. He won the level two at the world show in ranch riding, and he was fourth in the open that year. But
cool.
So yeah, it's changing. It's changing a lot. Like, it used to be kind of it's the one event that I can tell you I have absolutely no idea how they're judging it, because one year they want a little performance horse, and then the next year they want actually a big, sturdy, pretty horse that you actually could use on the ranch that can do the ranching maneuvers. So I'm like, and then one year they'll let the metallic cat win it. So it's, and that's at the AQHA World Show I'm talking about. So, but it's actually the most, like barrels, it is, but getting the most entries, it is growing. It is
well. You
growing.
Can't really argue. You can't argue barrel racing. It's a pretty simple pattern, and it's a time period. Whereas, like, somebody said something that, like, a couple of weeks ago, they were like, "Why are horse girls crazy?" I'm like, "Because we pay people to judge us." Like, what?
You're basically paying for. And I could say this, like,
you literally pay to run around the press stand.
Yeah, and the others are paying for someone else's opinion.
Exactly. You're literally paying for somebody else's opinion, because that is the cool thing about barrel racing, is that you can't argue a time.
You can't. And you really don't want to judge barrels either, because sometimes they're not prettiest. Now, her horse does very correct. But sometimes the most prettiest horse, like if they swing their butt or whatever, it may win. Yep. It can be fast. So be there's fast. Lots of ways to.
There's a million different ways.
Mhm. So.
But as long as it's the fastest, it doesn't matter, right?
That's right.
Yes. So do you do ranch? Do you do ranch versatility then?
No. That's I know. Oh. I grew up doing pleasure and 4-H, and we. No, that's why I said that a minute ago. I would probably be that one idiot that would mess up federation if I ever tried it. So I do a lot of embroidery and awards and apparel for horse people, and we do it for a lot of ranch associations. And so just kind of seeing all the orders that we do, a lot of them have been for ranch places, and then actually the NRHA just incorporated ranch classes into their shows. And it's just really grown a lot, like
yeah.
a lot, because people, I think...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Ranch kind of offers that same thing. People are kind of going to those better environments for a horse that's doing a job like barrel racing or just like cows. Like we even talked about it on an episode where, and I don't know if Tricia, you do this or not, but have you ever put him on cows or have you ever tried to like take him and do something else to keep his mind fresh when it comes to barrels?
Not him, but he's like a third older right around anyway. He's the opposite of a hothead.
I tried it yesterday. My husband's stroking, and I had the gray space out there, and he was real good and real quiet for a little bit, and then he, with the gates and everything, and then the head came up, and then he got real hot, and then we had to lope for a while after CR was done to get his mind to come back.
Oh.
So sometimes there is a difference between a racehorse and a rope horse.
For sure.
Well, yes. Well, that.
I do think that her stud would make an amazing head horse. He's just built
yeah,
that way.
And
he's oh yeah.
Want to breed to him and stuff too. He would probably do great. I don't think I could rope myself. Like, you know, I'm not a rope.
No, I'm like just stick with barrels. But it's fun. It took us this long to figure out how to be good at running barrels. We definitely don't need to start roping.
No.
I've been around it, though, so much that I can tell when a roper swings its rope going into the box by their swing, whether on the rope, whether they are going to catch or not. Like, I have literally just done it and seen it for so long. Horses, everything, I might not rope, but I can sure tell you what their horse is doing wrong.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We've been around. Yeah, I've been around a horse trainer for 27 years.
Yeah.
So, rope horse trainer.
That's
but,
crazy. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of what I was going to say. I can't even think of it anymore.
Oh.
It's been a long time.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that. I was having a conversation earlier, mid-sentence. I was just like, hold on a second. Let me gather my thoughts because...
Yes, I was going to say, I don't know, I was going to think about it. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think it's, obviously, you are doing all kinds of things together. You guys are just, I mean, leaps and bounds. Like, I don't even have anything much to do with the barrel racing world, and I know of you, and I've seen the horse on TikTok, which is, you know, might not
mean
a lot.
That's my favorite thing.
Do what?
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. I always ask people in different disciplines if they see my horse. I'm like, that's how I know
yeah.
my marketing's working.
Well, yeah, that's, like, did you see the thing where the Fapini, I think that's how you say his last name, they did, like, a switch-off. He's, like, a really successful reining trainer, and he switched with a dressage trainer, and they switched horses.
Oh.
You know, I think that's good for any discipline. Do you think that's good for barrels, or?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I started out doing English, and I've ridden reiners, too, and I competed in eventing, and I think that any time you can start, you know, in a different discipline, I really do see how that shaped my training style, you know, as I get older and the things that I want to do. And even this summer, like, I was having a little bit of trouble with some stuff with Adios at the first barrel, and I told I sent Matt Mills a message. First, it took me a hot minute to, like, get through to him. I had to call in the favor. And so the Blue Thunder Unicorn, they called in a favor for me and got me to Matt. And so I was like, hey, I would love to come and take a lesson. And then I was like, my horse has won $250,000 already, but I need to sell at the first barrel. And I think he thought I was a crazy person. But, you know, I went out and I just told him, it's like, the horsemanship is the horsemanship. So I was like, I know mechanically what I need to accomplish, but I was like, I'm not really sure how to exactly get there because of the way that I train and what's common for barrel racing and stuff. And I was like, I know that I need kind of some different options, and then I can kind of take it from there of what I specifically need. And he was great. He's such a great teacher. He was able to pick out, like, the smallest things, which I appreciated so much, because it's very rare that I ride with somebody that's like, I mean, he told me right off the bat, like 3 seconds in, he was like, I think we need to do a different curb chain. And so, you know, just little things where he's so used to watching those horses move for what he's doing that he was able to pick up on very, very small things that my horse was doing. And I'm just so grateful. And after that, you know, I did really well through the rest of the summer, and you know, that's what got him over his goal and stuff. And so I was so grateful to go and ride with Matt, because even though it's so much different, there's still so many similarities, but the horsemanship is still the horsemanship, you know. So yeah. A lot of the mechanics of what we're all doing, we all get there a different way, but it's still very similar.
Oh, absolutely. 110% agree. And I think it makes you a better horsewoman or man if you're able to do like what he just did. Like, he's literally a reining horse trainer, and you're like, hey, look at my barrel horse. And the fact that he helped you is just really cool. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, I was so grateful, because I know he probably was like, it's crazy barrel racer, you know. But it's also like, you know, I shared it on my page, and a big thing was like, not hardly anybody could even name somebody that had, like, went outside of the discipline to get help, you know. And when I try to just explain, like, the move that I was trying to accomplish, I was like, I know what I need him to do, and Audios is a team player, so I was like, if you could just get us communicating this properly, we'll be good.
That's what I was going to say. They have other disciplines they kind of think of, oh, the barrel racers.
Oh, 100%.
And, I mean, we're really – horsemanship is number one. Yeah, we have evolved.
Yeah, we've come a long way. Also, you know, like I told him a big thing when I went and rode with him too. I was like, you know, these little mistakes, this is the difference between me getting first and third. Like, this, it's a very small thing, but that's the difference of, like, winning it or not winning it.
So today I was riding with Lenita, came and rode with me. She's an old NFR barrel racer. Sorry, Lenita. She's like my mother. So she's one of my favorite people. She's
no harm
for years. Won Fort Smith. She is literally was at the hospital the day my son was born. So she's one of my closest friends. And I have got one of her old horses that was kind of like, here you go. And he's great. So anyways, we're loping today, just loping circles around the barrel outside. And she's like, you know, Rosie, you really need, like, you can't go fat, like, get away, because my ground is made for calf horses and roping, and I've dealt with it. She's like, you really need better barrel racing ground to, like, get, like, to be the top of your game. She goes, so that way you could practice at home. And I'm laughing, going, I've never had that. How the heck have I ever been able to win a barrel race or anything, because I've never been able to go fast, you know. So just the little things, like she told me today, she's like just to get them in and out at home. And I'm like, well, I have friends, I can go ride with friends.
Oh, yeah.
I need to do that, because I do everything footwork slow, and I guess sometimes you gotta go fast.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so just like there's so many little things, and I was gonna said that for a reason, I don't know. But
well, that's
that was today was about our ground and how barrel racing ground is different from we
oh, yeah.
So
it is. You know what it is? And that's funny how you brought up how barrel racers' horsemanship has evolved, because you guys do get some slack sometimes because people assume that you don't have any, but it takes a level of talent to throw a leg over a horse regardless of what you're doing with it, period. You know, so how, what do you mean when you say you guys have evolved as far as horsemanship is concerned?
I mean, even I'll use Adios as the example this year because he's been, you know, the poster child. But he, you know, he's pretty eclectic. I think you know, everybody sees him leaping around and playing and how outgoing he is. And I think you could have taken a lot of that out of him. Like, I could have made him be fit in the box, right? But he would have never won what he won if I would have done that. So where people say it's a lack of horsemanship because I allow him to be a certain way, I feel like it's me showing horsemanship because I kept the horse sound and mentally fresh and consistent and just doing all the things for all year long. You know, where you saw other horses, you know, win and then disappear and then come back and then disappear again, or, you know, where they weren't consistent, where he just stayed sharp and going and team player all year long, and that's just because he's happy, you know? And so keeping that horse managed is keeping him happy so that he wants to go out there and do his job and do it right and be the horse that he was. You could have taken all that out of him. He would, like, if you get after him for something, he knows, he's not stupid. So, like, you could have taken all that out of him, but you would have also taken out a lot of his try.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
If you basically, like, just with the rope horses, like, if you get a snaffle bit horse or something to get into rope off of, if they have been so hard and so hard, it's so hard on them and demanding, and basically you can take the heart out of one real quick. So.
This sounds so sad.
It's really a fine line. You know, I joked that the other horse that I had was three times the Fury a few years ago, and she won $220,000 her futurity year. And I joked that mare taught me how to have audios, because she wouldn't deal with it. Like, you would, if you'd be like, no, you can't do this, you need to mind. Because people would tell me the same things, like, oh, you need to mind. Boy would be like, I do not care. Like, you live in my world. So
right.
It was so different, you know, where, like, I do feel like Adios could have been pushed one way or the other. Like, I feel like he's kind of more go with the flow with stuff. But Sway was like, absolutely not. Like, no, thank you. I'm doing this my way. And so it really taught me how to, like, think outside the box and get along and, you know, keep her happy.
You can do it all by being nice to them. Like, when I rode a horse that Trisha had, and Trisha wanted me to have him for a little bit because she was like, you're gonna do it right, but you're gonna be kind to him, but you're also not gonna let him get away with anything, but you're kind, and I just need him with someone like that. So basically it's like, you don't have to be too hard on a horse, because
I think that also that's a huge thing where our industry has evolved, because like, you know, it used to be where they're like, oh, just make them do it. And now it's like, usually if they're sound and, you know, you're doing the right things, they just want to do it anyway. You know.
It's fun. It's fun for them. Like, how many horses have we won that actually enjoy running barrels?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, this is fun. They want to go run barrels. And that's what we want. We want a horse that wants to do its job, but not dreading it.
Yeah.
And if they do dread it, some of them, like, there's a reason why. A lot of it is pain, but that's a whole nother.
I see what you're saying, and it's probably for the entire betterment, for the horse's welfare and the sport's welfare, that you have examples like Adios that are saying, hey, I like doing this, I'm good at this, I'm still getting to be a horse.
Yeah, it goes both ways on how it's received. But we have a good time. I mean, I joke because I'm like, for as much crap as I get on him, he's so easy. Like, he's so easy with everything, and I'm so appreciative of that. But that's just because he's happy, you know. And to me, I'm like, I can't imagine somebody telling me, like, sit still, don't move your foot, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that all day long. Like, that sounds terrible.
You so. Are right, though. Like, you are very right, because when I grew up, I don't want to say it was you had to be in a box, but it kind of was like you had to be in a box. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. More people are migrating to rodeo events, cow-related events, because of the atmosphere is a little more fun and, like, not as a box, whereas Western Pleasure can be a box. Dressage and even Hunt Seat can be a box.
And I joke because I'm like, I love the fraternity stuff, but the rodeos are fun. You know, we got to run it in Denver last week, and that's a huge rodeo. And that was, like, the first real performance that my horse had gotten to be in. And, like, he went in there, and he handled it so well. Like, he had such a good time. And there's just something so much more electric about that atmosphere, like, in a performance. You know, with a crazy crowd and all, I mean, it's just like, there's nothing like it, you know.
I'm not a futurity person trainer. I like an older horse, and I just like, because I like to go have fun. I like the rodeos. I like the pro races around here. It's just like, that's what's fun for me. So, or the futurity, it's a different world.
Is a puzzle. Like, you're trying to put puzzle pieces together on a young horse, you know, where, like, constantly it's a struggle to keep them consistent or to keep placing. Like, you're always just trying to move the puzzle pieces, where, like, as you get those older horses, it is more like fun. You still have your challenges and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
sometimes you have to put those puzzle pieces back together. An old horse, but it's a lot
more fun when they just show up and you know what it is and you just go have fun.
Yep.
See, I had no idea
that's
that there was a difference
do,
between
right?
security and rodeo.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I'm learning so much. So now, when do you have to stop them in the security? There's obviously age limit, right?
Yeah, November 15th is our deadline, so it's kind of the beginning and the end of the year. But there's one more security the first week of December, and that's like the end. So then after that, they're considered a derby horse.
Oh, but he could still rack up his money.
Yep.
His whole entire career. So you can be a futurities, then you go to the derbies, and then hopefully they can go to the rodeos. So you just go from the futurities to the rodeos. Like you're
yeah.
But it's
lots of opportunities still.
So. Oh, yeah. There's always ways to win money. As long as they stay healthy, happy, and sound, they can win money.
I'll have a long-lasting career. I'm, like, brain blown right now. This is so cool to me. And I keep watching this video, by the way. Like, I've got this thing on repeat on his page where on the 17th, and you're going around this barrel, and just the pure muscle that in this horse's body.
No, that's solid, too. Yeah. He's a lot of people ask me because they're like, is he hard to ride? And I was like, he's so easy to ride, but he's so strong. Like, and it's like, strapping yourself to a pickup truck.
Have you ever let anyone on him?
Oh, lots of people have rode. Not running, not but, like, everybody's been on him and took him through. Not in a while.
Let him back to the stall at the World Show and was like, what a nice horse. He just follows you and doesn't try to run over you or anything.
Yeah, I joke too because he's like really, really eclectic with me, but sometimes he gets a little bit of like stranger danger going on. He's like, wait, I don't know you. And then he'll be like really quiet and good, like, I don't know these people.
Yeah, I think it's super cool that you guys work together like you do and took the time to sit here and chat with me and explain all of this stuff. Thanks for not laughing at the non-barrel lady. So.
Oh, not at all.
Oh, no. It's good. We both like to kind of venture out.
Yeah.
Trisha ventures out way more than I do.